Praise God. They got me up here, didn't they? Let's pray for this message. We're going to need it. Bow your heads, please. Gracious Heavenly Father, I give you thanks, praise, and glory, Lord, for calling me out of my comfort zone, Lord, and getting me to stand up here in front of these people that I dearly love in this little church family we've got here, Lord. And the praise and the glory that are on my lips for you, Lord, are unsurpassed by anything in this world, Lord. I am just so grateful that you've come into my life and accepted me being the wretch that I am and for loving me, Lord. And I give you praise and glory for all this in Jesus' name. Okay, you've seen what kind of mess I'm in, haven't you? Well, I come here today, as I do every Sunday, to see the dear people I love in this little church family. And every Sunday, the Holy Spirit is in this room. But today, I've asked for him to come up and sit with me in this chair to hold up the cue card so I'll know what to say, because I don't know what to say. And I just pray that he gives me the things that your ears can hear that you will accept. And I pray this in his most precious name. But I'm not a pastor or a preacher, and I'm definitely not a public speaker. But all the love I feel when I come into this church here, it makes me want to come up here today. I didn't want to when Jack called me to his office and asked me to what I was doing on March 15th of this year. And I should have told him I was having a hernia operation or something. But I forgot to do that. So he dropped this on me. And I really struggled with it for a while there. And I really sat down. 5 hours I sat one Sunday and worked on this thing and just worked and worked and worked. And I had it all written out. And I come to find out that's what Perry wanted to say. So at 2:10 this last Thursday morning, after we'd had a meeting with Jack here Tuesday night, and I went to bed Wednesday night after Bible study, and then came, I woke up at 2:10, and I came to the talent contest this year, and I heard a man sing the song, "Why Me, Lord?" And that's what I heard in my head when I woke up. And all those papers that I had struggled with and crossed out and scratched out and then made this little spiel I was going to give you people, that was Perry's. It went in the garbage because I know nothing. I know nothing. Jesus Christ knows it all. And there he is right there. How am I doing? But, you know, so it seems to me that we should pay heed to that. We should listen to what the Holy Spirit nudges us to do. And it's hard to do. It's hard to walk into a crowd of people that you don't know about half of them. And you see that sign out there on the wall that says, "Know Jesus as Lord, or Savior, Lord, and to make him known." That's hard to do. And I've done it on several occasions. And I've been rejected on several occasions. But just put your big girl panties on and get back after it again, or don't quit. Because that's the way it is with me. And it's just, since I've been here at this church, it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience for me to be able to walk up to these people and tell them I love them, and for them to tell me they love me. And if I haven't told you I loved you to your face personally, I want you to know that this little fat guy loves you as himself. He does, because the Lord, the very first commandment is, love your Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor is yourself. Well, neighbors, I love you, and I want you to know that. All, each and every one of you, I want you to know that. And like I say, I'm not a public speaker. And after all that fighting with what I wanted to say, and then just deciding that Jesus knows what to say, I don't know what to say. But I will say that since the Lord, he pounded on the door for years, but I didn't need him because I was the Lord. And when I opened that door and let him in, he showered me with so much love and instilled in my spirit so much love and affection to people, for people, because I just love them all dearly. And the parable of the sower, if you would read with me, Mark 4, chapter 3 through 7, I would like for you to read that to me. And okay, like I said before, Jack says, here we go. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured them. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And you're looking at that seed right now. I have done all those things. But by the grace of God, he picked me up and saved me from that. And let him know, and he let me know that he did love me, that he really truly did love me. And I started reading this book right here in front of me occasionally, and I read it more on now than I used to. And I don't read it every day because I fall short, because I am a sinner. And I don't try to convince anybody that I'm not a sinner. But in this parable of the sower, I've got a parable of my own, you know. It says that the way we were and the way we are now, the windshield in a car is a very large thing. You look through it, you can really see well out through there. The mirror is so small, so you don't look backwards, look forward. And when Jack asked me to do this, and I told him, I said, Jack, you know where I came from, what I'm like. He says, I don't know that man, Perry. So you're sitting out there right now looking at a new creation, because God said we were all a new creation when we were born again. And I have been born again. And I praise God for that. And that brings us to the chapter 8 in that parable. And it says, but other seeds fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Well, folks, I tell you what, this little fat guy has produced a little better than he used to, but I'm definitely not where I need to be. I will never be where I need to be. I struggle daily. I struggle daily with this thing. I spoke earlier about my clean white shirt every morning that I put on. And I spill my eggs on it. And then at lunch, I spill my ketchup on it. And at nighttime, I spill my gravy on it. And that's the way my soul is. So after all this daytime with all this dirt and turning my shirt into a tie-dye shirt, you throw it in the laundry and wash it. Well, at night, you should throw yourself face down on the floor and ask God to forgive you for all you've done that day, because you have dirtied yourself up. You really have. And that's a parable. So that's, take that to bank with you. Because I look at life since I came here at this little church. I came to this church and let me laugh and let me say something like that, you know, and it's amazing. I don't have to sit there with my hands folded up. The only thing that about my hands being folded up I like is Jesus Christ is the center of the universe. Now, he is the center. There's no doubt about it. And I married my sweet wife, Janine, whom I love with all my heart. And I never thought I could stand in front of a bunch of people and say I was happily married. But this little guy is happily buried. I love her with all my heart. But Janine and I need each other. And what we need between us is Jesus Christ needs to be between us. So if I'm here and Janine is here, and we lean toward each other with Jesus Christ between us, that's a pretty solid foundation. Would you think that's a good foundation? That's a wonderful foundation. And we need to have this instilled in our hearts that that's what we have to do. Because you don't realize, without Jesus Christ in your life, I didn't drive in a Rolls Royce, but I could have. But I don't have Jesus Christ. What good is that? And because I look at it like this, if you're not satisfied with what you have in your life now, double it and see how satisfied you are. Then you want that double, won't you? Because that's our sinful nature. I'm about to push the truck over, ain't I? But I get excited occasionally for God. I get excited for the Lord. I do. I think it's a wonderful thing. I used to get excited for a lot of other things that wasn't very pleasing to the Lord. But it's pleasing to the Lord when you get excited about Him. 10:4. Okay, see? Because I need Him to sit there at my side and guide me, because I can't do it all myself. I tried it. It does not work. Each and every one of you out there, there's not one among you that can stand alone. You cannot stand alone. You will fall, because you have to have some kind of basis, some kind of foundation in your life. And the foundation of my life has definitely changed. My life is so much better. I have the best of both worlds. I'm retired. If I want to work, I do. If I don't want to work, I don't. And I've got a loving wife at home. I've got a wonderful church family that I just dearly love. How does it get any better than that? There's only one place better than here, folks. And I'm looking forward to getting there. And I want you to know that it's you think it's great here. I think it's great here. But I can't even fathom what it's going to be like to stand in front of the Father. I just cannot imagine, and tell Him that I love Him. And I hope He looks at me and says, "Pork chop, good and faithful servant." I hope He says that, because I just pray for that. I pray for that. And I pray for all of you. I want all of you to have this salvation, to have this feeling, to have this love in your heart. It's an absolutely glorious thing. It's amazing. And my eyesight's failing, folks. But I have one more little scripture. I don't know if Dave got it up there or not, because I threw this on him together later. But a very dear friend of mine sends me a group text every morning with a Bible verse in it. And about the middle of last week, he sent me one. And it says, now it's in Romans 8:28. And it says, "And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? Why 67 years ago did God look up and say, "There's going to be a little chubby guy that's going to get up in front of a whole bunch of people and tell all those people how He loves me, and tell those people He loves them"? He knew that. I didn't know that. I don't know anything. So what you need to do, and see, I have this little thing. Some of you guys are too young to know what these are. This is a road map. That's what it is. It's a road map. It's not a GPS or a TomTom, which I couldn't operate anyway. But this will show you, if you need to go somewhere, this will show you how to get there. It'll just show you. Just watch. Follow these lines. It'll take you right there. If you want to go to Chicago, get on 55 and go to Chicago. And this right here, ladies and gentlemen, is the owner's manual to life. This little book right here. You should get into this word right here. This is the owner's manual. This book will take you where you need to go also, which is a lot more glorious than going to Chicago. I'm guaranteeing you. Because where this is, we go here, this is paved with gold. There's no sorrow. There's no sadness. There's no sickness. Now, isn't that a wonderful... Just, can you fathom that? I cannot. Because of the things I've done in my life and the way that I've acted and carried on. But a guy once told me that we're nothing but filthy rags. But he also added, and he said also added, is, what does God do with a rag? He polishes things with that rag. And I hope I got just a little bit of polish on somebody out here today. I really hope that I pray that I did, because a lot of you know where I came from, and you know where I'm at now, and you know I'm not the person I was then, because my Lord has given me new life. And I want to be a light to each and every one of you. As long as you're walking with me, there will be no darkness, because I want to be that light for you. We have to do that. We're called to be a light to all those in the darkness. And because I was in the darkness, and my sweet wife finally showed me the light. And she showed me that there is another way besides Perry's way. And I'll be forever grateful to her, and be forever grateful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for saving me. And like I said, Jack said, a wise man knows when to talk, and an even wiser man knows when to shut up. And your pot roast is going to burn, and you're not going to be able to meet your family for lunch because this little fat guy's up here boring you to death. So I ask that you bow your heads and pray with me and give thanks to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I do give you praise and glory, and we love you so, but we fall so short of what we really, really need to do, Lord. And I am just so grateful that you did love me, Lord, as you love everyone out here. And all they have to do, Lord, is just accept that love. So as we go from here today, just take that to the bank with you, Lord, because the old man's not very bright, but I do know that without the Lord Jesus in your life, it's just a futile life, Lord. And I give you praise and glory for all you do in our name. In Jesus' name, amen.